Good morning and welcome to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith, sitting in for Joanne Vrakis, and I'm here with Walter Assey, the star of the show. Hi, Walter.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Walter is the president of Renovco, and this is your opportunity to ask Walter your home renovation or your home maintenance questions. You can call us at 514-590-0800. That's 790, sorry. I know, both of you are looking at me. What's that number? All right, let's try that again. 514-790-0800, 514-790-0800. And you can ask Walter anything about home renovation or anything going on in your house, 514-790-0800. But let's start off, Walter, with talking a little bit about spring cleaning. And I guess when you say you want to talk about spring cleaning, you don't mean like vacuuming and dusting.
No. I mean, although that's a good start.
Yes.
But I mean, you look at a day like today, it's beautiful. So it's a great day to do your spring inspection, meaning what happened to your home in the winter. Make sure that your downspouts are well connected. You can install now your gutter extensions to make sure that when it rains, because now we're getting into the rainy season. So chances are we're going to get a lot more rain. You don't want that rain to come too close to your house because the ground is still frozen. That's going to go straight to your foundation, and then you're going to have water that might come into your basement. So things of that nature, you want to start inspecting your filters in your furnace to potentially change those filters. Look at your ducts. I mean, you know, we don't talk about that often. But usually a duct cleaning is necessary once every 3 to 5 years, depending if you had a lot of renovations done on your house or, you know, you had maybe a neighbor that was doing major construction and there was a lot of dust in your home. If you feel that your filters are getting clogged often, faster than they usually do, then that's an indication that probably your returns are dirty. I say the returns because the supply is very rarely dirty. It's really the returns. So that's a good time to, you know, contemplate booking a duct cleaning company to do the work.
Sorry, stupid duct cleaning question. So when you say supply and returns, you mean outgoing air is usually clean. It's just when it circulates back that it's dirty?
That is correct. Because the outgoing air is you have air pressure constantly going through. So it's very, very rarely you'll see a lot. I mean, you'll see some dirt, usually at the registers mostly, but you won't really. So I mean, a good duct technician would always focus a lot on the returns because that's where you will find most of the dirt. And again, the filter is your telltale sign. So if you find that this is getting dirty too fast and you're changing it every month, or the efficiency in your system is not that great, it's not heating up as well, or it's not cooling as well, usually it's a filter issue. And if it's a filter issue, that's occurring more often than not. So, I mean, an average is 3 months is acceptable for a filter. But if you find you have to change the filters once a month, then you have an issue, and you should. And that's not good, actually, also for your system. It will actually force your system.
So To work harder. Absolutely.
That's correct. And you're going to pay more energy as well. You're going to pay a lot more money because your system keeps on working. And then some of the systems actually have a shutoff. So they will kick in emergency heat, which will also cost you more money as well.
All right. We're talking about spring cleaning with Walter Assey. He is the president of Renovco. This is the Home Improvement Show. And of course, we're going to continue this conversation because with Walter, spring cleaning means ducts. But we're going to go to the lines. This is your opportunity to ask Walter any questions you have about home renovations or spring cleaning or anything you've got. The number is 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800. Let's go to the lines. Donna has a question about insulation in the attic. Hello, Donna.
Hi, good morning. My house was built in the late 70s, and it still has the original insulation up there, the pink sheets there. I don't know what they're called. But I'm curious about having some insulation blown in, but not the kind that becomes rigid, the loose kind. Would that be good to put on top of what's there, or what should I do?
It is good to put on top. Number one, it's cheaper. And number two, it can be blown in more in a uniform way. Because I'll tell you one thing, there are advantages and disadvantages for both. So the balloon-in, what happens is it can cover, if the technician is good, it can cover evenly without seams in the middle. The problem with bats in general is that you have to butt the seams together. So if the technician that put them initially did not do a good job, you're going to have all these gaps. So even if you would have R50 in your attic, that doesn't mean you have it everywhere you have those seams.
So, is it better off putting the pink stuff that's there now, the long sheets on top of it?
You can. That's exactly what you should do. So okay. If you have the, if you have the installation bats already, then you can add to it with a blown in. The only issue you're gonna face with blown in is if one day you have to renovate and you have to take out the insulation, it's a mess. It's gonna create a big mess. But I mean, how often do we do that? It's not that often. I mean, unless you have a big water damage or anything like that. But that's usually the case. I mean, in a lot of cases, newer homes, they don't even put bats anymore. They just blow in R50 and off you go.
For the bats, what R should I look for to put on top of what's there?
Well, you're going to take a measurement of what you have. So what year was your home built?
78.
So chances are you have an R22. And the idea is you want to go up to R50. So a good insulation technician will measure up what you have. And not only I want you to measure up what you have, you also have to have him inspect your attic to see if there's any of the insulation that already got wet or damaged. Mm-hmm. To remove that, because fiberglass, when it gets wet, it loses its R value.
Yeah.
So, you know, more often than not, people visually look at it and they say, oh, it got wet, but it's dry now. If it actually got wet, you really need to get rid of it. And, you know, sometimes you can have mice feces or, you know, any mm-hmm. type of mold or contamination on them. So that would be a good time to replace them. You can replace them with other bats, or you could just replace these areas also with blown-in mm-hmm. insulation. That's, you know, but a good technician will actually go walk around your attic. They want to see if you have proper stereo vents. Because mm-hmm. that's what you want in the perimeter. And they're going to check at the same time if you have adequate ventilation in your attic. So all your soffits are actually unblocked.
Okay.
And, you know, everything is in good working order.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much, Donna, for the call. So that's Donna wondering about insulation in her attic and, that fiberglass insulation that she's got in there, the pink insulation. And so Walter is saying, yeah, there are a couple of options there. I want to ask you actually some questions about insulation as well. We're going to take a little break in a moment. We've got some callers on the line. But give us a call if you have a question for Walter Assey. The number is 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800. This is the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. Good morning. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. This is Sue Smith sitting in for Joanne Vrakas today, and I'm joined by Walter Assey. Good morning again, Walter.
Good morning.
Walter is the president of Renovco, and he's here to answer your questions. Anything you want to know about spring cleaning your house, which is what he wants to talk about today, or any renovation issues you might have, give us a call. The lines are open, 514-790-0800. That's 514-790-0800. Let's go to May, who's been patiently waiting on the line. Hello, May.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question for Walter?
Yeah, I have a duplex, and the upstairs is like a water is coming downstairs. I turn off the main valve from the street mm-hmm. for the upstairs. But that was yesterday, but then I still see water is still slowly coming down. I want to know exactly what to do.
And vis-a-vis the area where the water is coming from, is there a bathroom in that area? Or
No, the water is not coming from anywhere else in the house. Is that the entrance from the door to go up from that? That's where the pipe the pipe is broken.
And you're sure it's a broken pipe, right?
Yeah, I'm sure this is not happened a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Is that the furnace is the water not the furnace not working? The furnace, I think the oil was empty out there. The guy didn't supply the oil into that setup. Because of the lot of the ice in the back and the entrance is in the back.
Okay.
So there was no delivery oil, so it run out of oil. But the water is coming very slowly downstairs. I shut up the main valve from the outside. So I wants to know, what can I do if there's another valve to turn off?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. What you might be having is just leftover accumulation of water that is still dripping. So what you want to do is you want to make a bigger hole in that area where the water is dripping, so you can drain the accumulated water that have actually accumulated on your ceiling.
Okay.
By doing so, just make sure you have a big bucket, because you don't know how much of it is going to fall.
Yeah, and, but to be sure, I already put a bucket there where the water is dripped in, and it's very, since yesterday, I have maybe about a glass of water come down.
Yeah. So, I mean, you do want to drain that water anyways. You can't keep it there because it's going to create a lot of mold. So what you want to do is really poke a hole in that. And it's going to be very easy. Just punch a hole through and, you know, just start with a screwdriver, just because you want to have, you know, as much of a clean flow. Because if you do it a big one, it's going to go all over the place if there's a gush of water. But what you want to do is drain that. And then if you see that there's still water coming down, you probably shut off the wrong valve.
Go ahead.
Or your valve is not working properly. It's not completely shutting off, and that could happen sometimes.
Okay.
Okay? So in this case, you would probably need a plumber. Now, unless you have a shut-off valve in that area where the pipe was frozen, that's another story. But start with that. Chances are that's exactly what the problem is. You just had a lot of water accumulating. Because you have to remember, water, when it goes down, when it goes down through the drywall, it requires an important amount of weight in order to protrude through drywall. You're talking about the 5/8 drywalls that for it to rot and you know, or to kind of decompose in order for the water to come down. So you'll be surprised of the amount of water that's actually in the ceiling right now. And if you don't allow it to drain, you don't help it drain, it's just going to keep on dripping, and you're not going to even control where it's going to drip from. Very soon you're going to see it's dripping from another area that you know that was not initially damaged. That's why you're better off, you know, that this is the area where it's damaged, you're better off kind of herding the water there and just letting it drip in the bucket.
Okay. Is any valve on the furnace itself where I can turn off that valve too in the meantime till I
You wouldn't have a problem. I don't think the problem is in the furnace. I think it is a frozen pipe somewhere.
It's the frozen pipe from the entrance where you open the door to get into the house. That's where the...
Yeah. So that have nothing to do with the furnace then.
Yeah. So there's no water coming from anywhere upstairs other from that entrance. So the water dripping going down to the into the other room in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, by opening up that ceiling, you're going to expose that pipe, and that's going to be, you know, an easier way for you to see what's going on. Plus, at the same time, it's going to be easy for the plumber to come and do a faster repair for you afterwards.
All right. Okay, May?
Come in on next Monday. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. That's May. It's always so worrying when you have water coming anywhere. I liked your suggestion to use a screwdriver, because if you use something bigger, you might get lots of water coming through.
You do.
Yeah. Okay. 514-790-0800. We are talking to Walter Assey. He is the president of Renovco. Let's go back to the lines. Rhonda is on the line. Rhonda, hello.
Good morning. I have a question about an odd size air filter.
Yeah.
It's 19 by 20 by 1.
Okay.
Where should I go look to purchase them?
So any ventilation supply company would have that for you, or you could literally just go in on the net.
Yeah, no, I don't want that. But do you have a recommendation for a store?
So store, not really that I can say right off the bat, but for sure don't go to the big hardware stores. You're not going to find it.
This
usually have to be custom. And I think there was one that's called Filter Boy. It's actually, but that you have to do online. They could do any size you want. It takes about a week. Actually, they're decent in delivery, and they're also on Amazon. So maybe that's one place you could start with, and that's probably the fastest way to get it, believe it or not. Because these guys, they specialize into off-standard type of filters, and you can even control the quality of the filter. So you tell them what quality you want as far as a filter is concerned.
Yeah, what MERV do you recommend?
I mean, look, obviously the higher the better. You know, it depends on a lot of things, but you have 1 inch, right?
Yes.
So the higher the better, because 1 inch is not a thick filter to begin with. You know, that's pretty much what I can tell you.
Is 8 sufficient for
eight
residential with no animals?
8 is good. 8 is
good. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's Filter Boy. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, again,
if you're gonna go on the net, there are many companies. I'm not endorsing that one in particular, but it's one that I often have used. But also, if you go through Amazon, you'll see a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is, I mean, yeah, you could go to the stores, but then you have to go, you have to show up, you have to drive there, you have to give it to the guy, and then the guy subcontracts to the filter company, which takes an additional week or two.
Because it's an unusual size.
Oh, it's an unusual right. size, yeah. So the timing is usually longer.
Okay,
Rhonda.
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much. That is Rhonda with a question about air filters. You can call and ask Walter Assey a question about anything to do with home renovations, spring cleaning. We've been talking about cleaning your ducts, renovations. Give us a call, 514-790-0800, 514-790-0800. We're back with Walter Assey in the Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith, sitting in for Joanne Vrakis, and we are taking your questions on everything home improvement related, renovation, spring cleaning, whatever you got for us. Walter has an answer. The number is 514-790-0800. And we're going to get to the calls. We've got a couple of callers on the line. We will get to you. I just wanted to read this text because I think it'll be a quick answer. Walter, on the question about blown-in attic insulation, Carol wants to know which is better, fiberglass or cellulose?
So, I mean, they're both energy efficient, but usually cellulose would have a smaller edge, better edge as far as an insulating factor. So, I mean, if you want to take a per inch like ratings, cellulose would be about 3.2 to 3.8 versus fiberglass, you're talking 2.2 to 2.7.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you can go with cellulose, you're getting more buck for your money.
Mm-hmm.
Not that fiberglass is not good, but cellulose would give you that edge off.
So is it more expensive?
Not as much as you think. It's honestly more a preference of the guys, the insulation guys, what they're using in their truck.
Right.
So usually if it's more expensive, it's not going to be by much. But if you have a choice between the two, I would go with cellulose.
Might be worth it. All right. Thank you so much, Carol, from the text line. 514-790-0800 is the number to call. Victorina, thank you so much for your patience. Hello.
You're very welcome.
What is your question for Walter?
My question for Walter, thank you for taking me. Like, I live in a duplex. We are the owner, and we have some squeaky floor. Is there something I can do about that except for carpeting it?
What age is your home constructed?
It's a duplex. I think it's about 50 to 60 around that year.
Okay. So the main issue you have with structures like this is in those years, they used to use nails to nail down floorboards.
Okay.
It wasn't even plywood. In a lot of cases, it was just a floorboard. The problem with that is that with time, those nails spiral out from their place, and you have now that vibration of the floorboard that goes up and down.
Yeah.
So for you technically to fix that as, you know, clean fix is without doing anything intrusive, there's not much you could do. You could dampen it by putting things like a carpet, like you said, an underpad, but it does not eliminate it. Right. One way is to screw down that floorboard. But in order to do that, you would have to either screw down the floor that you have. You could just go with longer nails.
Okay.
Longer screws, mm-hmm. not nails. You don't want to go with nails again.
Yeah.
Or you take out the floor, you re-screw all of the floorboards again.
Okay.
And then you know, either you could put plywood on top with PL glue, or you could, if they're still in good shape, you can put a floor on top of that.
That sounds like a big job.
It's a big job. But in a lot of cases where the floors are old anyway, and you really, really want to do a quick thing. So if you have a carpet now, the good thing is you could just lift the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
You lift the underpad, and you could put it back. So what you do is you just lift it, you roll it, you screw the you screw down the floorboards, and you just put back the underpad and the carpet without doing a lot of damage.
Yeah.
All right, Victorina.
Okay, so I can call your company and have an estimate for them to take a good look and give me an estimate, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll do that because I don't want carpet. I think the previous owner had removed the carpet before we bought it. The floor seems nice, but I didn't realize it's squeaky. Like, it's not too much, but it bothered me living on the main floor.
Oh, believe me, I know exactly the sound and it gets to you.
Yeah. You learn how to, where it squeaks and you sort of walk around it.
Yeah.
You
float.
Thank you so much. I'll call for an estimate.
Not a problem, dear.
Okay, Victorina, thanks so much for that call. 514-790-0800. Let's go back to the lines. Tira, thanks for waiting.
Yes, hello.
Hi, what's your question for Walter?
My question is, I am considering being adventurous. I have never renovated a bathroom, but I am considering doing, it's a small bathroom in our basement, so it's not our primary bathroom. And what I would need to do is replace the ceramic, maybe replace the sub-flooring. And the shower, the stand-up shower, I would get a plumber to do that. And I was just wondering, I'm thinking that I could do it, but sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And do you think it is something that I could do as a first-time project?
Wow, you pick your first-time project.
She did say she wanted to be adventurous.
Yeah, but
that's adventurous.
That's taking it to another level. That's for sure. I mean, okay, at least she's calling a plumber, so that's a good start. That's a good start.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how manual you are. It is a big undertaking. You can't just replace the ceramic. If you are taking the ceramic out, you have to take out the drywall with it. So it have to be drywall and ceramic, if you're doing it on the walls, that is.
No, the ceramic I'm talking about is on the floor.
On the floor. Okay. So
only on the floor because our shower is, you know, one of those stand-up showers that it would be like a module that I will just get it replaced. But it's really to redo the floor, to replace the ceramic floor, and to replace the sink, the sinks with the cabinet.
Okay. So, look, I mean, it's so pretty much what you're really doing yourself is the ceramic.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a trick that might help you in your endeavor.
Okay.
What I would do is I would buy some Raimondi clips. There's a couple of things you're going to do. Because what you want is when you install ceramic, the first thing you want is not for it to crack after a while.
Exactly, and, yes.
Okay, so we'll start with the base. So what I would install is a Ditra membrane.
What is that called?
DITRA, D-I-T-R-A.
DITRA. Okay.
Yeah. And what that does is it creates more stability for the ceramic on the plywood. So instead of doubling the plywood, that, you know, that was the old way of doing it, a DITRA membrane will help stabilize the ceramic for it not to crack.
Oh, that sounds excellent.
So you start with that. That will give you a strong base. Just make sure that you read the instructions adequately how to install it. The other thing that I would do when I install my tiles, because again, the idea with you installing the tiles is, number one, you need to have a good cutter, good tile cutter. But number two, you need to be good in ensuring that you are installing them level and square and you know, not with different spacers and what have you. So what you would do in a case like this is you would invest in Raimondi clips.
Raimondi, okay.
Yeah, and that would, what that does is it makes it foolproof or dumbproof.
Yes.
Because it does the spacing for you, it does the leveling for you, and it ensures that, especially if you're a first-timer, you don't do big mistakes with it.
Oh, that is, and I've never done tiles, but I have helped a lot with different types of renovation. Like, I mean, my willingness is there. I am patient. It is not my primary bathroom, so it's not something I need to be done in a weekend. And I am saying, if this is a project, if this bathroom is something that I could start with, because I would like to do more things.
Yeah. Good for you.
And
maybe start with a painting.
I've already done the painting. I've helped build decks. I've done painting. I've helped with demolitions, but I've just never done a bathroom. And
so you do this right, the next project will be building a new house on your own.
Tyrell, call us back and let us know how it goes. Thank you so much for that project, and that certainly is very adventurous. Just a follow-up question from the text line. Walter, can you use DITRA on outside balcony? What kind of clips?
I mean, Raimondi clips. Raimondi is a brand, mm-hmm. but I mean, there are other companies that... I like to say Raimondi only because they came out with it and
mm-hmm. they're
it was
innovators,
popular then.
Right.
But there are other companies that do that. And yes, you can use it on outside.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, is here to ask your questions. We've got lots of calls, lots of texts. Pro tip, next week, get in early because it's 10 to 10, so we are going to be having a little bit of trouble getting you all in. We're going to go to the lines in a minute, but let me get to the text line. Good morning. My mom recently passed away, and she had a 1905 apartment building in a historic area. The building is empty, and I know there are plumbing and roof issues. We're not sure if we're going to sell it. In the interim, how do I go about assessing the entire building and identifying what needs to be prioritized to fix things? And that is Mary in Laval.
So we usually start, you will get a general contractor that you trust in, and you can start doing a list of, even if you're selling the property, there are certain things that they're minimal that you have to do, because, you know, unless you are selling it as a total...
Without legal warranty.
Without legal warranty and as a total loss, meaning you just, mm-hmm. you know, whoever is going to buy it have to put a bulldozer to it and take it out. So a general contractor that is experienced enough should be able to do you that list and budget for mm-hmm. the items as well. So it can mm-hmm. give you a general idea. I mean, usually the logic says you stop the water sources. That's the number one, because that's the thing that could kill your home and create even further aggravated damage. So if you have a roof issue or a plumbing issue, you start with these first. The foundation issue, that would be number three. You don't want the mold to get worse. You don't want, the last thing you want to show someone who's going to buy that property that there's mold everywhere and water leaking everywhere.
Totally.
Because automatically you're sending the message that this building should be demolished.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, it shouldn't be the case. It could be repaired. But you start with the exterior envelope. And then you start going back in with other things that are cosmetic.
All right. That's Mary from the text line. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Joan. Thank you for your patience, Joan.
Hi.
What's your question?
I have three questions. The two easy ones. I just had a new furnace, electrical furnace put in, and the guy's supposed to come back with filters. And he says every month I'd have to buy them, or I could buy a washable. I said washable. Is that correct, do you think?
I'm not really very big on washables. I don't know why he installed the furnace without putting a filter in it.
Well, there's a filter in it now that's too small that was from my old oil furnace. So I don't know what to go and get, and he won't call me back, and it's just been 2 weeks. So
yeah,
I'm really ticked off with that. Okay, maybe I'll go with the every month one. Another thing, the easy one, the downspouts. I have these ones, you know, that you buy at Home Depot or whatever, and they're plastic and they're all rigid. I got to get a new one every year. Is there something that's better?
Are you keeping them installed in the winter?
Yeah.
That's why.
So, yeah, but even in the summer, the guy that mows my lawn, geez, bangs it around and bashes, and then, it's ridiculous. So what else could I do?
I mean, there are different qualities. It depends on the what you could also do is you could have it done in metal, like in aluminum, in a gauge that is part of your gutter system.
Yeah, the trouble is though that it comes down on the side of the house, that the driveway and the pathway to the back, so you'd have to keep stepping over it all the time.
Yeah, no, that's an issue. So you do need something flexible. What the other thing you could do actually that is my favorite is you make it underground.
Yeah.
So you do a trench and you put the actual you actually drain it underground.
I had that, and then some guy said, "Oh no, we don't do anything like that anymore."
That is so untrue, like many levels. I don't know where you're getting these guys from. But.
Yeah, well, obviously I'm going to the wrong people. Okay, here's another one. I had a vandal fooling around with my hydrometer outside a couple of years ago. And then I couldn't use one of my outlets inside, and the electric doorbell didn't work. So I thought, what the heck? So I called the hydro, and they send five guys over. And one of them is new. The other guy is supervising him. And then the other three are hanging around doing God knows what. Anyway,
sounds
they said,
like
yeah, everything is fine. And they never came inside to see what was going on with the thing in the garage. You know, what do you call it?
The box.
The box. Yeah,
sorry, I need to move you along a little bit, Joan, because we're heading to the top of the show. What's your question?
My question is, how do I get some electrician to come in here, check it, and I had a guy, he came in, he charged me $200 to say he couldn't do anything because I didn't have a grounder.
You don't have a ground, you mean?
I don't have a ground, yeah.
Well, that is important.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a question of who you're calling. If you don't have a ground, you should have one, but...
Yeah, but he said I had to, you know, go through the ceiling and down the wall and make everything a mess.
Okay, well, just call another master electrician and have a second opinion at this point.
This was a big company that I called.
That doesn't mean anything sometimes, right? It's the technician that you get. So you have you could have the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? So you could, you know, you might have just fallen into a bad luck of a series of people that don't know what they're doing. But I would definitely get a second opinion on
that. All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Joan, thank you so much for the call. And Mary, thank you for your call. We are not going to be able to get to all the calls. Again, pro tip, next week, try to call before the end of the hour because we'd love to get you on. We'll try to get maybe to a text, Walter. This one is asking about driveways. How often do you redo a driveway in years? And what's the best season to redo it in?
When you redo a driveway, are we talking about asphalt, pavers? There's many different products that we could use. But I mean, technically, if something is done right, you technically don't need to redo it.
Ever?
It's all about the compaction. And so it's all about, you know, we are going to be talking about that because there are also newer ways of doing things right now when it comes to pavers or even asphalt. It's all about the compaction. So, I mean, technically, a job well done, well compacted should last you forever.
Okay.
But I mean, how often would you we see that? Not very often.
Okay. And then the follow-up to the DIY basement bathroom renovation, what are your thoughts regarding replacing the ceramic with other ceramic versus the vinyl waterproof planks as another option that might be easier to install? What do you think, Walter?
Easier to install. Only problem is that if you have, you need a very leveled floor. If you don't, the water will seep in through the seams and it will be just caught underneath the plank. But it's definitely an option if it's well installed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Walter, thank you so much for answering all the questions today.
Always a pleasure.
And Walter will be back with you next week on the Home Improvement Show. That's Walter Assey. He is the president of Renovco. And don't forget, if you didn't get on the air and or your text wasn't read, you can go to the Renovco website. There's an Ask Walter button. He likes it when you go there and press that button. And you can put your questions on and he will bring them in and answer them. That's Ask Walter on Renovco. I'm Sue Smith. Thanks so much for listening. This has been the Home Improvement Show.